This is After the Credits, the home of correct movie opinions since 2007.
Yeah.
Welcome to episode 357 of After the Credits. I am Marina Antunes, joined today by fellow co-hosts.
Steve Stebbing.
Bill Harris.
Best of Bill Harris.
I'm Melissa McDowell.
Is Bill still in Christmas mode? You forgot where he was?
No, I was yeah. Trying to do something and it didn't work. Okay, leave me alone.
Happy New Year, movie fans. And just fans the world over.
Happy holidays and all
that.
All
that jazz. Everybody blur that it was.
Everybody have a good time.
Feels too long and too short at the same time, if that even makes any sense at all. Like, I wish I got more of movie watching in than I did. I feel like I didn't as much as I had aimed for. But at the same time, it was a good time off. So
I was going to save this for the end, but I'll say it now. I listened to Steve's other show on YouTube every Friday morning when I'm supposed to be working. I say this all the time. And listening to the show. And then Steve's about to do his top 10 list. And I'm like, turn it off. I must be surprised.
Sorry about that. There's no warning for that. But I was like, right near the end of the year, I'm really curious of what Chloe's top 10 of the year is. I'm always proud of her. But there's a beaming pride as when she comes through with her top 10 and like a specially curated top 10. So I was really, really pumped to hear that. Do you guys want to know her top 10?
We want to know it next episode when we all do our top tens.
Yeah. Is that next episode? See, I didn't
are
know
we doing we're next one or the week ours. One.
Next episode.
Next episode.
I mean, January's dead. As I've been near the end of the episode. At the end
I've been
of the
ready
episode.
For weeks.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna go through what's coming out, and it's like there's probably maybe five titles that are like. Marginally interesting.
I was actually kind of shocked, but there also is some January stuff.
Yeah,
like this Sam Raimi on January 30th.
Yeah. It's funny. My birthday? You know what's really funny is I already have a ticket bought for the Thursday night before that for a different movie that went on sale. And this is like a small special screening just for that weekend. So it's weird. Yeah, it's Markiplier's movie. It's called Iron Lung.
Yeah. They're playing that here, actually.
See it. So I got a ticket already for it. So we'll see.
So.
Boss of bosses.
I'm not the boss. Jesus. This is a team effort. Team effort. And part of the team, namely me, didn't get to see the movie of the week. Well, I should say get to. There were opportunities. I just didn't take them.
Yeah. I'm a bus I was supposed to take to Vancouver never showed up. There was your opportunity.
See, I would have seen it if you would have actually come to town. I would have actually seen the movie. As it is, I did not see Marty Supreme, but you all have. And I am A-okay with the spoiler-filled discussion of Timothy Chalamet as a ping pong champion or something.
Yeah, I don't know. This movie, I mean, it's captured in a really great way. Like, everything on the production side of it is really, like, top-notch. Like, the absolute top-notch. It's some really great cinematography. Darius Kanji doing cinematography on this one. And one of the best looking films that he shot in a bit. It did remind me a little bit of House of Gucci, a little bit of that Ridley in there, especially with some of the soft lenses that are used in this film. I mean, it's a character story in the sense is like about a character. He's not a good dude. He's
not even close to being a good dude. Nobody
like
good.
He'll step on anybody to get anywhere. And he's got Venom ready if you're going to be an asshole to him. Like the shit that he was saying to, what's his name? The big guy that helped him with the ping pong ball.
Yeah.
This is horrible.
Just trying
horrible,
to be a nice horrible guy.
Shit. Yeah. But I don't know. There's also something about Safdie's work. And his casting that I really like Abel Ferreira. Like so interesting. I refuse to give Kevin O'Leary any kind of stop for a conversation. So
actually on my notes I wrote down everybody in the movie, and beside Kevin O'Leary I said fuck you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's playing
cast him as himself essentially.
Yeah. He doesn't they put a hairpiece on him and that's it. He just went
but he's such a dick. He's
so awful.
It saddens me that he got a paycheck for an artistic production, because he doesn't deserve that. He doesn't deserve an artistic credit to his name.
No. Tyler, the Creator, I really liked in this.
Yeah, he was great.
Very quick scenes. Very, very, very quick stuff.
And the only likable character in the entire movie.
Pretty much.
For sure. Because, the reveal on Odessa Adzion is really, really, really great. I really like her as an actress, though.
She's such a... Her face is so watchable. Like, there's just... She's so expressive, and she has such an interesting... Like, her features are so interesting that she's just like... Yeah, every moment that she's on screen, I feel like she really pulls focus, which is saying a lot when you're acting across from Timothée Chalamet.
Yeah.
The scene in the phone booth where she's like just like trying to get this like call through and do all this stuff to like get the money and all that is just pretty genius stuff.
Yeah.
I like the movie quite a bit. And what Steve said, I think it's really well shot, and I think it's really well made. There's only so much I can take from a movie if I just don't like everybody, even though they try to redeem. I don't know if that actually works. And I'm like, yeah, this is a good movie. And I just don't really want to tell people to go and watch it, because it's like everybody's such an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think it's beyond, to be honest, for me, it goes beyond that. Like, I think technically this film is brilliant. No one paces a movie like Josh Safdie. Like, nobody. Mm-hmm. Like, no one even comes close. This thing, you will never feel the runtime in this.
No.
There's, like, a lot of... It doesn't go as far as Uncut Gems in terms of, like, the anxiety that it produces, but it still gets pretty close. Like, you are really invested in this... the plot, despite the fact that it's really abhorrent. Like, it's really abhorrent. Mm-hmm. And this is the thing that I can't like quite wrap my head around, is like, this is like a pure, this is a total celebration of the most vile ambition. And it's like, it's hard to tell if he's being like critical of it or celebratory of it. Like, it just seems like such a, like almost like a celebration of crass, very American ambition. I don't know how to take it. Like, I don't know if he's like meaning for, it does not come across as critique, and it does, especially in the way that they've been promoting the film, does not at all come across as critique. It's like a celebration of vying for greatness. And it's kind of gross. Like, it's really a turnoff. Like, beyond just the fact that the characters are not likable, the reason that they're not likable is because none of them give a shit about anyone but themselves and their goal. And it's like, it's a brilliant movie technically, but it's really hard to watch on any other like moral, ethical, like, message level. Like, all of it is really rough.
I think honestly, the Marty Supreme the Marty Mouser character is very comparable to even talk about like the Howard Ratner character in Uncut Gems, as like, they will cut anybody's throat to make their shit work, make their ambition work, make their dreams work. And like, this is also kind of the characters that Safdie, that Josh Safdie kind of resonates with too, because I mean, Robert Pattinson was just a shitty human being in Good Time as well.
Yeah.
So
But he was saving but he was trying to save his brother.
Yeah. Like, at least there was something. And even like, even with Uncut Gems, I felt like, you know, here's a guy who's just making all the wrong choices.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't feel like he was, maybe it's just because I haven't seen the movie in a while, but I don't remember feeling so repulsed by him. It was more like, oh, why are you doing that? Oh my God, why are you doing that now? Like, that was that more that kind of reaction for me. This one, I was just like, I don't like you. I don't like you. I don't like you. I don't like you. Like, none of you people are people I would want to know in real life.
But the thing is, it's like, you know, congratulations, you did a really good job of this.
Yes.
Like, you, like, we were having a lot of emotions about this. Yeah. Like, you obviously did a very good job. So, you know, kudos for that.
It's a great movie, but it's like, but you're right, Bill. Like, most people, I think, have a pretty heavy reaction to films where they don't like the characters. And so I think you can recommend this movie, but you have to also kind of, the caveat is, but you're not going to like anybody in the movie.
Yeah,
like, it's a good movie, but you're not going to like anybody in the movie.
Well, and it's like the movie kind of like has the same, like, they always has this same like desperation and hypocrisy that he experiences like in the beginning of his career, then he's experiencing like through to the end of his career and stuff. And it's like, it's just hard to get any sort of likability for Marty whatsoever in this movie.
Yeah.
And then, oh my, like, Emery Cohen. Speaking, if Emery Cohen's in a movie, just because Bell's here, we have to talk about Emery Cohen for a second.
Yeah, I hate Emery Cohen.
But again, he's playing that role.
Punchable face.
You hate him.
Yeah.
And like, wait a second. He's the victim here.
It was a pretty good clock, though.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty good clock.
Yeah, but as far as best of the year conversations, I don't know if I that spot for Marty Supreme in my 10.
I've been watching a lot of like top 10 lists videos and like reading top 10 lists, and nobody
really
Marty Supreme in their top 5.
PTA said it's his favorite movie of the year.
Wow. Well, my favorite.
Or one of, I don't know. So in that, you know what I mean? And like, so if you're saying it's one of, then it's in like your 5, probably your Letterboxd 4.
Weirdly, I think a PTA is a Habnet guy, but hey, maybe it's just me.
And he won best, as far as I've seen at the Critics' Choice tonight, he won best director.
Oh, wow.
I thought this was Chloe Zhao's year again.
No, I think One Battle's going to sweep.
Yeah, I don't know. There's just something about everything is just set at such a hyper-focus in Hamnet. And I really, really, there's something about that film that is really otherworldly.
So I have questions.
Okay.
Would you guys say that Josh is the, maybe not more talented, but his film, well... Okay, so which do you think is the more talented Shaft?
Josh.
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 Well, it's Benny's the better great
movie.
Actor.
It's Josh,
Benny's a great actor.
Yeah, yeah. Benny's great performer. But I'm also the one on this podcast that doesn't hate The Smashing Machine. So I'm not writing Benny Safdie off. I enjoyed Smashing Machine.
I didn't hate Smashing Machine. I just didn't think it was very good. But...
I also, Benny gets disqualified for being in Happy Gilmore too.
and that show Showtime.
It's The Curse. Really, yeah, it's that which is really good.
He's such a complex, horrible human being.
Yes, he is.
Oh,
yes, he is.
He's like a producer. He's just horrible, horrible.
And in this entire discussion, none of you mentioned Gwyneth Paltrow.
Who is gorgeous in this film, like really gorgeous. And
but again, I kind of feel like she's playing herself.
Yeah, kinda.
You know, like I mean, yeah, she's kind of a very self-obsessed rich white lady.
Yeah,
who has a lot of self-pity for herself, despite the fact that her position in life is pretty sweet. Is this a character or is it just Gwyneth? I don't know.
That whole Safdie charm thing. Of loving reality.
and Fran Drescher is great.
Yes.
Yeah, but underused. Totally. She's massively under her and Sandra Bernhardt. I was like, Sandra Bernhardt for 5 seconds.
She gets
like two lines in the whole, like, yeah, I don't know.
So I'm still not sure. Is this something that I need to see or
you'll want to see it, I think.
Yeah,
I think the genuine cinema curiosity will make you want to see this movie.
Okay, so now Melissa, you need to share your insight on the 70 mil presentation at International Village, because I will actually make the trip to International Village if it's worthwhile.
It was pretty great watching it in 70 millimeter. Like, I do think that the texture of the film just comes through. There's a certain like warmth to it, and also because this is like, especially with this film, because it is because it isn't supposed to be current. Like, it is a nostalgic picture. I think all of that kind of really works in 70 millimeter. I think so International Village in Vancouver has just recently acquired this technology. It was not something that they had previously. The transitions were a bit rough. Like, the transition from the previews to the actual film reel took quite a long time. And also just at the beginning, they seem to have a lot of difficulty getting the focusing right. but didn't stop or restart the film. So,
that's wild.
So it was, I think it's a work in progress, and hopefully they will get better with projection as time goes on. I mean, I think I saw it 2 days after it opened, and I'm pretty sure that was the that is the first 70 millimeters film that they've been screening at International Village. So, I'm sure it's going to take them a minute to get caught up. But like, guys, you got to do better than like 10 minutes between the previews and the switching over to the.
No,
that's what,
it was pretty close. Everyone was turning around. Like, what's going on?
When I saw One Battle at the Park, there was a good 5 minutes between.
Yeah.
But the 10 minutes is a lot. Yeah. I've heard some really bad horror stories about that transition. I'm guessing the DCP didn't have subtitles, because supposedly they can't play subtitles properly, because if a person in the back row stands up, it'll cut off the subtitles. They haven't quite figured out the way to put the DCP yet to like even out, if that makes sense. So, I'm guessing they can't play Sentimental Value there anymore, because they won't be able to show the subtitles properly.
What will be the next 70 movie to
Annalie?
It's not even out yet.
No, I've seen it.
Well, that's good. I have a screener for it too, and I have a screener for Is This Thing On, but I haven't watched either yet.
Yeah.
I guarantee neither of I won't get it in Penticton.
Also, just another thing, Marina and I were going to go on the Tuesday, and it's cheap Tuesday in Canada. You know, Tuesday's supposed to be cheap. Do you know how much a 70 millimeter ticket was on cheap Tuesday? $18.
What? How was that cheap?
Yeah, there's the same even for Cine Club members. Like, it was $40 for two tickets.
Wow.
So they're very much charging people for that extra technology. Mm-hmm. But I mean,
extra old technology.
Thankfully, I mean, the word on the street is that the Park Theater is sourcing another 70 millimeter projector. So at some point we will be able to go back there and watch 70 millimeter films again, hopefully with I'm sure with a much more experienced projectionist. So,
No. I will say, since we're talking about the Park, the coverage of, I say coverage because nobody was actually there. I wasn't there, but I have seen a lot of Instagram reels from the Stranger Things screening.
I was so sad, honestly. I tried to get tickets for that, and like, I was on, they went on sale at 10 a.m. I was on there at 10:05, and they were gone already.
Well, I didn't know whether it was going to be all ages, and apparently it was. There were a lot of kids.
Yeah, it was. They don't have a license, I don't think, yet.
And are you sure? Because I think they were selling booze. They did a special.
Oh yeah, they had a beer. So yeah,
they had a special beer.
So they must have had a liquor license.
And they installed a stage.
Right. Because Finn went up.
There is a stage now. Yeah.
Well, it's the only model that's going to work there is to replicate the real model. Like you can't get by on just films. There's going to have to be other stuff going on there. But it looked good. And yeah, Finn Wolfhard showed up for the 5 p.m. screening.
That's awesome.
Looked like really lovely. And he's a partner in the Park Theater now. So that's pretty awesome. They all got like gift bags with like a t-shirt and like a Squawk Radio t-shirt and stuff. I was very jealous of these things. There's like a little like Squishmallow version of a Demogorgon. I don't know. I'm really mad that I missed out on those tickets now.
I can't tell Chloe.
You know what sucks too? Because like I legitimately had friends who had extra tickets, and if I had known, I could have got you a ticket.
Yeah. Why are you telling me that now, Bill Harris?
Right?
I don't need to know that now.
Sorry.
Yikes.
I actually have a fun Stranger Things story for later. Stay tuned.
Oh man. Well, why don't we talk about Stranger Things now?
Oh, well, okay.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm assuming we've probably all seen the finale.
Yes.
If we were watching the show. Steve is not replying. So is this I don't watch Stranger Things?
No, I do watch Stranger Things. I'm just not caught up at all. I just like I said, I'm just so preoccupied elsewhere. So
yeah, no, totally fair.
Yeah.
Okay, so we won't do any spoilers about it.
No.
Because I'm sure you're dodging those left, right, and center already.
Yes, I have. Yeah.
But I will say that they didn't Game of Thrones it. I wasn't unhappy.
Oh, good. I'm very happy to hear that.
Like, yeah. Was it perfect? No.
No.
Are there holes? Yes. But generally speaking, it was satisfying.
Yeah. I mean, when you have that many characters and that sprawling of a storyline, something is going to fall through the cracks. Like, you're not going to make everybody happy.
Sorry, Steve, I'm going to ruin Stranger Things. The final shot is Eleven playing Fairies Wear Boots by Black Sabbath on a guitar on top of a mountain. And it's incredible. No, she doesn't do that. That's my fucking end. That'd be my fucking end.
I kid you not. So my 9-year-old niece at 12:02 a.m. on January 1st, we had just rang in the new year. She's like, see ya, suckers. I'm going to watch Stranger Things. And she was up until 2:30 in the morning watching the movie.
She wasn't on at 5 p.m. I refused to
turn the TV on. And then she came down on the 1st at some point in the morning and rewatched it with us. And she has since seen it 3 times.
I would have been more of a ninja than that. I would have had like a backup iPad in the background.
Well, we had family over. We had the cousins. I literally had to tell Dan to turn the internet off to all of the devices because the girls would not get off their iPads. I'm like, this is done. No more connectivity tonight. So yeah, she had no choice. She had to be social.
Okay, so I hadn't seen an episode of Stranger Things until about December 20th.
Like at all?
Second.
Like zero? Oh, like my God. At all.
Oh, what? So you like binged the entire like first 4 seasons and then...
So somebody who's in name, I won't say her name. You guys might know who she is. Said to me that, oh, you've never seen an episode of Stranger Things. Do you think you could finish it by the time we go and see the finale? Yeah. Like, I'm like, it's 5 seasons. She's like, yeah. I'm like, all right, fuck it. Yeah, so I watched 5 seasons of Stranger Things in like 2 days.
You know, that would be exceptional if it wasn't you.
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was funny too, because I'm like, you do know me, right? Like,
but I mean, the thing is with season five, like there's a bunch of episodes that are well over an hour long.
I know.
Like one of them is like 90 minutes.
So here's the caveat. For the first 2 seasons, every time I saw Winona Ryder, I fast forwarded.
Oh God.
Joy.
No, like Joyce. Legitimately, it was just her picking a phone up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was awful. I must say the first season is okay. Like I get it. I like Stephen King too. But it's like just reference after reference after season 2 is awful.
Season three is season Chloe's two is favorite. Tough,
but yeah, season three is the best season.
Yeah,
and season four, like season three, season four were okay. Season five, I was so tired of them being in the middle of battle and Wilda stands there and starts telling them, explaining something for like the 45th time. I was just like, can you guys stop?
Well, now you know, you realize that the key audience, the key demographic for the show are 9 and 10 year olds, dude.
I know, but it's just like, they're about to go into a major battle. He's just like, has to explain the Vecna thing for the 45th time. And I'm just like, just stop.
This is the new Netflix model, right? Like adjusting your scripts to take into account that people are getting up and going to the bathroom, or they're in the kitchen, or they're wandering away. So they have to tell everything. They can't just show it.
I know, but
it's not HBO.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so Maria and I were talking about this. Like, I guess I'm the guy who goes to film festivals. I don't know about Stranger Things. And so I was actually really quite surprised at how like stupidly into that. Like I went to one of the screenings too at 5 o'clock on the 26th or whatever it was. And
31st,
whatever. Yeah. Time has no concept right now. Yeah. And they're all dressed up and everybody was like, just chilling, and they were so happy and they were cheered. I'm just like, holy shit, Stranger Things is Star Wars for this generation.
Yes,
it's quite strange.
It is.
Yeah. And I had no idea.
Also, can I just say how much I fucking love like going on to Instagram and seeing like 19 year olds talk about how nostalgic it is.
Listen, what are you talking about? Chloe is not
for you.
Her favorite song at the moment is Running Up That Hill. It has been for like a year. I'm like, I am A-OK.
My youngest likes that too. Yeah. Good.
I also can't believe they got Prince.
Two Prince songs.
Oh, don't worry for Steve.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no more. No more.
That's not a spoiler, so, is it?
Just tell me, did you play the rest of the Kate Bush album for her?
I've played all of the Kate Bush for her. She does not like any of the rest of it.
Yeah, it's just like good and Stranger Things. Okay. Yeah.
And she doesn't actually even like all of the Stranger Things stuff, because there is a massive playlist, the official Stranger Things Spotify playlist. And yeah, she's like, we're in the car. She's like, can you skip this song? I don't like it. So she only likes occasional songs.
Does she like Joe's album and Finn's album?
Yeah. Oh, God, don't ask me. I have no idea. I don't know.
Joe's album's really good.
Joe's album is really good.
This turned into a discussion about how there is no quote unquote bad music, because you know we're trying to.
Obviously, never heard Morgan Wallen then.
No, listen. She needs to realize that she doesn't have to like.
She can
all
like
of the music.
Anything. She can like anything she wants. Yeah,
exactly. I'm like, you know what? There's no bad music, because everybody likes something different. So don't diss on Uncle Dan for only liking old stuff, because he doesn't like a lot of the stuff you listen to. But my stuff is really good. No, like we had a discussion.
Hey,
the artist subjective art discussion with a 9-year-old.
Mm-hmm. I played Ween at work a couple days ago. That was cool.
Wow, I haven't listened to Ween in a long time.
Jesus. They're still as great as you remember.
Oh man. She's like, Butthole Surfers, what kind of band name is that? And then she and Dan proceeded to make up other band names that, you know, they would call their band.
That like, was a good scene though. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Do you guys like not remember the part where Steve was like, don't tell me shit?
We're done.
Spoiling plot points. And also, he just knows about needle drops. He doesn't know when they come.
Oh, you guys are missing the point. It's fine. I've seen it. I don't care. I care for Steve, okay? Good Lord.
All right. Okay, listen, I have a bunch of movies. Now, this, I say this, and then I look at my list, and I'm like, but I am not... I don't think there's anything on the list that you guys haven't talked about. So this is more of a I agree or disagree with your opinion. There's only a couple that I think you haven't actually talked about. So Train Dreams is as amazing as you all said it was.
Yay.
It's so beautiful. I got very teary-eyed at the end. It is so, 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 so lovely. And I love how it feels kind of like out of time. Like I did not realize where they were in the period of time until like he goes into the city on the train, and I'm like, wait, I thought this was like a century earlier. Like, what's going on? It was very good. It's so beautiful.
Did Dan get into it or did he not watch it with you?
Dan did not watch it with me.
Okay.
Yeah, we started it and he's like, I have other things I need to do. I'm like, okay.
By the way, I followed Dan on Letterboxd.
Yeah, has he actually posted anything? He asked me, how does this thing work yesterday?
Well, tell him to ask me. I do it right.
Zero movies logged.
Yeah, right. Scenes.
Oh man. Yeah, just for the record, you all got your Letterboxd year in review. Mine said zero films logged because I do Letterboxd wrong
on purpose.
Yes,
on purpose. This is one of the few that I have seen that I think only Bill has seen. The Testament of Anne Lee. I wish I liked this movie more.
Oh, so do
Really interesting. Anne Lee was fascinating. The Shaker movement is really interesting. I didn't expect it, and maybe this is my bad, I didn't expect it to be this much of a musical. And I wish the music was better, if that's okay to say. Like, I don't know. Like, it's...
Remember, there's no bad music, Marina.
I know. I didn't care for it. And of course, it doesn't help that they're all like, it doesn't help that they're all hymnals, basically, right? Because it's all about the religion. Like, all of the music is the entire idea of the Shaker movement is, you know, rejoicing and being one with the spirit. And you do that through movement and your voice.
Yeah.
And I understand that, but
the music feels like a breathing exercise.
Some of it does. And yeah, actually those are the sections that I actually liked. It's the actual singing parts that I was like, but Amanda Seyfried is fantastic.
Well, she's
like,
awesome.
She's so good. This entire cast is great. Lewis Pullman is fantastic. Christopher Abbott is a jerk again, which is great. He's a
Has Christopher teacher. Abbott ever been a nice guy in a movie?
I am going to find out because I don't think so. But he's always great. And the movie looks fantastic. It's beautiful. I felt the length of it. I didn't love it as much as I thought I would.
This movie is also on the worst films of the year, according to Variety.
No.
What? No, it's not that.
Variety listed it.
No.
This and number, do you see what number one was?
I haven't seen that list.
The Life of Chuck. They listed The Life of Chuck as the worst film of 2025.
They clearly haven't seen enough movies. Yeah.
I will say this about Anne Lee. That movie is a giant swing, and I appreciate the swing.
Yeah, it is very much so. And if nothing else, like, I was super interested about the Shakers afterwards. Like, I went looking for other information. I'm like, there must be some other stuff there. And there's a really great Ken Burns documentary that I've marked to watch because it looks really fantastic. But I wish I liked it more. It is really beautiful though. Like, you cannot, like, the visuals, it's just stunning. It's a beautiful looking movie. I just wished I liked it better.
And just for the record, we all know how much Craig loved The Brutalist, so I think he has to watch Anne Lee.
I will say this. It is not The Brutalist.
So. Come on, it's from one half of the writing team behind The Brutalist. Yeah. Like,
and a musical.
Vision.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. Craig, it's VistaVision. That's all you have to say. It's VistaVision. That's what gets everybody on board.
Yeah.
Don't you know?
If it's not Happy Gilmore or Naked Gun, he's not doing it. He did come see Marty Supreme with me. He did see Marty Supreme.
Okay, wait. What did he think of Marty Supreme?
He thought it was good. He agrees that none of the characters are especially likable, but he thought it was a good movie.
Casey, these are the questions we need to ask every time now. What did your significant other think of the movie?
Okay, I know we're not giving Kevin Leary any praise at all, but I will say the vampire line is probably one of my favorite lines in the entire film.
Yeah, again, probably ad-libbed because it's probably like, what he believes about himself. Right?
That's why. I've been around for hundreds of years. Like, I was like, what is going on?
Definitely feels
he came
like
down
it.
From the stands to say this. Like, what is going on? I love it.
I caught up with Rental Family, which is so sweet. It's just such a sweet movie. I don't know what else to say. And I think I know now what it is about Brendan Fraser. His face is so soft. Like, I just don't know how else to explain it. He has like his eyes and his features. He just has this like teddy bear look on his face.
Yeah, giant teddy bear man.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. And it's really endearing. It really, really is. Like, you can see all of the emotions there. And I don't know, it works for him. And I thought the movie was really sweet. Just very charming. Mm-hmm. For the record, Dan liked this one too.
Wow.
I do not like that movie. I don't know. I don't know. I haven't looked at the rotten side of the Rotten Tomatoes on the critic side of that one, but like, I don't know. I feel like I would see like Owen Gleiberman or something like that.
I felt super dirty for liking it after Viv. Then I gave it 4 stars. I know.
That's what it's so funny, because I had that thought in in my mind when I went to go see it. And I was like, oh yeah, this is the one. Bill's like kicking rocks, like, I liked it. I was like driving home after it, like, la la la, like I had just been hugged for an hour and a bit.
It was just an accent. It's excellent.
So good.
That final scene is,
yeah,
tops. Tops. So good. So good. So I just don't know. I like, this movie is just fantastic. No notes, as the kids say. Cover Up, the Laura Portis documentary on Netflix about Seymour Hersh. Okay, is Seymour Hersh an asshole? He kind of comes across as an asshole. But
I think you have to be an investigative journalist, because you have to kind of, you're challenging power, so you have to be able to like hold your own in those spaces and keep asking the hard question and be like so dogged about it. So I think you kind of have to be a bit of like an egotistical, arrogant fuck, you know?
So this is the thing. I don't find him arrogant. I just find him a bit of an asshole. And I'm okay with it. Like, I completely understand why he is the way he is and why the work that he does is so important. And the fact that he's still doing this work, like how many years later, like 40 years later or something, like there is a reason people don't do this for their entire careers. It takes a lot out of you.
Yeah, but also I'd just like to point out that now, I mean, he's not getting published in any mainstream papers anymore. He's fucking self-publishing on Substack. This is like one of the greatest investigative journalists of all time in the United States, and he can't get a fucking publication credit. He's on Substack. Yeah. Like, that right there tells you the state of American journalism.
Yeah. No. Mm-hmm. Truth. Must see. Really, really good. Really well made.
That was a really weird day at VIFF. I saw House of Dynamite right before Cover Up.
Oh.
And then I saw The Plague.
No.
And then this thing on. It was just like the weirdest day at VIFF ever.
It's funny you bring up this thing on, because that was the other thing I saw. I didn't care for this movie. I thought it was fine.
Did you at least enjoy the comedy stuff? I thought that was the best part of it.
Okay, the comedy is, some of the comedy bits are really funny. In fact, Bradley Cooper steals the fucking show. Yeah, like, every scene, he's just like this bonkers asshole. I kind of love it. I kind of love it. But the Will Arnett and Laura Dern's relationship drama thing was just, I don't know. I mean, it feels like authentic and like very relatable. I didn't care for either of them. And I just really didn't care about what was happening to that relationship. I just had no interest. But yeah, I think the stand-up comedy bits were really funny. Really funny.
I think I had this idea that it was going to be this massive Oscar film. And when it wasn't, I kind of went, okay, he's trying something here. He's not trying to be like Oscar guy. And I'll give him credit for that.
Yeah. Maestro was like, I enjoyed Maestro, but it was also at the same time like fucking too much, man. Like fucking like... Hold, like, can we like fucking pump the brakes a little bit here, bud?
Yeah, go back to Coachella and sing songs.
Okay, so Avatar: Fire and Ice.
Oof.
Pretty much.
Fire and Ash.
That is the review.
Oh man,
it's so long. Cannot get that time back. I mean, it looks great. It has some really interesting sequences.
But does it look great? It's the same. There's been no real advancement.
think some of the stuff, I don't know, dude. Like at this point, it's all just like a blur of the same crap. I mean, some, I think what I thought was interesting is like the animation on the faces of the actors seems to be even more tweaked in. Una Chaplin is just like fire on screen. She's so good.
She is. Her and Stephen Lang are really good.
Yeah, for me, those were the two best performances. The rest of this was just like more of the same. That ending is so terrible. But the 9-year-old reviewed it like this. That was boring. She sat through the entire thing and then said that was boring. Dan is like, I agree, kid. So there you go. I will say, every time I hear the Avatar theme, which I didn't realize that they have a new composer for this.
For the last two. Yeah. Which James Horner was the first for 2009 one.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. But so every time you hear like the play of that theme, that theme hits really hard. Like it's really good. And they like they mix it into some of the action sequences. And whenever you hear it, you're like, oh yeah, this is what I remember. It's like these soaring visuals, but yeah, not great.
It's also good to know that James Cameron has seen Miller's Crossing.
That's true. Honestly, Hans Zimmer couldn't have fixed that score. Like, yeah. I'm still waiting for the Melissa Plane Ride review of Avatar. So
I'm never gonna watch it.
I just have to be honest. No, I honestly think that you are not missing anything. I would say skip it.
Yeah,
even on the plane.
Why do you rob us of this?
Because she values her time.
Yeah. Because I want to surprise you with other weird shit I end up watching on airplanes.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just crossing my fingers, and I'm only saying it on this episode, but there is a movie called Kraven the Hunter that exists out there. So,
you know, if nothing else, it has some good-looking men with no shirts on.
And Russell Crowe trying an accent on.
Very badly.
Very badly. It's of all the accents he's tried on recently.
Nirvana, the band, the show, the movie. Fucking hilarious. Dan is still like, she's like, did they actually do that skydive scene on the
song? So funny.
From the CN Tower 2. So did they actually do that?
It was not them, but it is them on the Skywalk, and it is a lot of them. I did ask about that. I also brought up the fact that I am terrified of heights. So now Matt Johnson wants me to come out and do the Skywalk with him.
Dude, you gonna cut your tether?
I'm a little worried about that. I'm gonna ask that Jagus be put in between us.
Yeah.
Oh man, that movie is so funny. Like, it's so funny. The fact that they use orbits.
Yeah.
Orbits.
And how obsessed Matt is. Do you know this drink?
I'm like, I completely remember orbits. Oh, and I'm like, does orbits no longer exist? Like, for a while. No, I know it doesn't. But I was
like, for a minute, I was like, too.
I forgot about orbits.
Yeah. Jay's clearly in the clearly Canadian category, and so what he says later about when it goes and he's like, just a bunch of shit floating in your fucking drink, like, when my favorite is anytime they do a flashback in that movie, it adds a little bit extra that you didn't see beforehand, and yes. It's usually Jay being fucking snide, and it's hilarious. So funny
can we talk spoilers?
No, it hasn't come out yet.
Yeah, it's out in February.
It's really funny. Just watch it. It's great.
It's so smart. Comes across as like it's going to be a stupid comedy, but it's so smart. There's so much payoff. There's so many callbacks. There's like, it's so well thought out. Like, I just could not get over how fucking smart that movie is.
What gets me is this movie is so Canadian.
Yeah,
like, it is so Canadian. Like,
but it plays everywhere, supposedly.
Yeah. This is the thing. I think that's amazing.
It's the Matt Johnson effect, because he is like, he's charming as hell. Like, he really is.
Except in this movie where he comes across as like the likable asshole friend yes. that just always has some
ambition over idea. Anything. Ambition yeah. before you have Smart. A plan.
He's the Marty Canadian Supreme. Marty Supreme. Nope. Oh.
Yeah, he is.
Except he is. Apparently much nicer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Far nicer.
Canadian Marty Supreme.
Yeah.
And just for clarifications, if you guys want to have that on your top 10 list, it's played Vancouver multiple times. It's opened in Canada.
Excellent.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to save it for next year. It's actually out February 13th and is the perfect date movie.
I could go with that.
Wow.
It's really great. It's pretty fun.
That was me selling it.
Yeah,
that was good.
Listen to that Elevation. If anyone from Elevation is listening.
The perfect Valentine's Day plan. It is actually the perfect Valentine's Day plan. Because if I took Craig to that for Valentine's Day, you'd be happy.
Yeah.
That would be a movie that he would enjoy.
Yeah, go see Nirvana the band, the movie. The movie,
and the
best comedy of 2026, says Steve.
And 2025. Let's
There we go.
Yeah. I did go looking for the web series, which is currently not streaming anywhere.
No, Vice apparently.
Well, on their website, it says coming soon. So hopefully coming sooner rather than later, because I'd like to see the show. And then last, I wish it was better, but Mamoru Hosoda's Scarlet is not good.
I really want to see that, too.
Yeah, Damn me too. It's beautiful. It's really weird. Like, Hosoda's movies are always a bit on the weird side. This one is weirder than usual. Like, it takes... It's like outside of time. She's a 16th century princess.
Jesus.
But ends up in this like in this in between time with the paramedic from the 21st century. It's weird. Like, it's interesting. It's a really great concept. It just does not pay off. But it is beautiful. Like, some of the VFX on that animation is just like, I'm still not sure how they did some of it. So it's not totally shocking that Sony Pictures Classics has kind of sat on it. I think they just don't know what to do with it, because it's not like a straight up anime, even though it has like some pretty great action sequences. It's really long. It's almost 2 hours long, and it's really slow in places, and it just, it doesn't really work. I wish I liked it more. I didn't hate it. I gave it a 3 out of 5. It's just
still gonna watch it. I still want to see it.
Yeah, I wish it was
good. Filmmaker, good track record.
Great filmmaker.
Yeah.
So that's my list. Those are the things. I saw more, but I apparently saw like 25 movies in the last two weeks of the year. So,
oh shit!
I know. I've been busy. Who's next?
I'll go next. Dead Man's Wire, which actually isn't out until January 16th.
16th, yeah.
Yeah, I got this one as a screener like a month and a half ago, and I just had the time to get around to it over the Christmas break. And I mean, I like the cast of this one. Cary Elwes, I haven't seen Cary Elwes in like forever. But he's got some really horrible looking cop facial hair and wig for this film. But the main of this one is Bill Skarsgård, who basically takes a banker hostage, played by Dacre Montgomery, over an insurance policy with the Dead Man's Wire, which is essentially like a coat hanger that's rigged to a shotgun that he has. And Bill Skarsgård's really great. Dacre Montgomery, Bill's seen a lot of him, at least a little bit of him recently, played Billy on Stranger Things. They're
a bit
both,
of a douche.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but, he always has a terrible wig.
Yeah, he always does. You know, he has he's balding in this one. It's different. But as far as Billy though, Billy also interests one of my favorite characters and actresses in Stranger Things, who I think is fairly underrated, as Cara Buono, who plays.
She's great.
She's really great, and I've seen that she gets a really good action scene in the season 5, so I'm pumped for that.
More than one, Steve.
Good, good, good. I love her. I think she's really great. But this movie is just kind of dull. Like Sant's style just ends up just kind of diluting all of the real tension in this film. And I don't know. It made me like kind of like nostalgic for older Van Sant films, like, and want of something like that. Like, even like, I wasn't a huge fan of Milk when I saw it, but years later when I watched it, I enjoyed it a hell of a lot more. And I feel like that's his kind of that's the kind of filmmaking he's trying to go for in this film, but he just does not achieve it at all. I watched The Luckiest Man in America because apparently my most watched actor for this year is Paul Walter Hauser, who's just been in a shitload of stuff I watched this year. And this is such a weird film based on a true story. Yep. This weird guy that shows up in an ice cream truck and is just like this savant at this. And just... it's so funny how they opened up the door for him and then it was just like cascading bullshit that came back the other way. Like, it's really kind of funny. David Strathairn is really great in this as well. Walton Goggins shows up in this too, that he's quite good. Maisie Williams, I was like, holy crap. I haven't seen her in a while. But yeah, a film that I ended up enjoying quite a bit. And then my Christmas Eve matinee film was Anaconda, which was the right amount of dumb that I was looking for, I guess. Nothing amazing. Very 3 out of 5 the whole way, but still playing with some meta-ness thanks to Tom Gormican, who did Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, who directed this film as well, which originally was supposed to be Paul Rudd and Nicolas Cage, but Nicolas Cage had changes for Doug that Sony did not sign off on, so he wanted to make Doug really dark and more like the John Voight character in the original film. Steve Zahn is so fucking adorable. There's just something about a goofy Steve Zahn performance that really gets me. And there's a cameo in this movie that I thought was really fun. Playing catch up on some of the screeners that I was sent a while ago. The Rule of Jenny Penn. Jeffrey Rush, who I feel like I haven't seen in forever, takes the lead as a judge who suffers a stroke and then ends up in this care home that is terrorized by John Lithgow and a hand puppet known as Jenny Penn. I have to kiss her ass. Oh, it's so weird. This movie is so weird, but John Lithgow rocks it.
He's a like, really great bad guy. I kind of like this movie.
Even some of the Cape Fear style laughing at the TV and stuff and then looking around at everybody. There's something so sinister about him that I really loved in this film. And he just honestly keeps the atmosphere going. And what a terrible care home. Like, they're just letting this guy do this. Like, this is fucked up. Like, you can't tell me you can't hear the fucking screams of some of these people he's torturing and stuff. Like,
welcome to adult care.
I know, right? It's like, holy shit. Daisy Ridley's new film, We Bury the Dead, an Australian kind of zombie film where there's like a detonation on Tanzania and it in kind of like a landlocked sort of sense, like 28 years later, it's reporting that England has been cut off. They're isolating this and sending people in to get rid of the bodies, but some of the bodies are reanimating, just kind of standing there and gritting their teeth, which is some really great sound design in the film. This film is beautifully shot. Some really, really great aerial shots of like just carnage and wreckage and these two little dots of people like moving around within it. And I don't know, it's very thoughtful. It's not a zombie film in like the jump scare sense. I think this is a broader picture one. And it's got Brenton Thwaites in it. I dig that kid. I think he's great. And one that I missed at VIFF 2024, I caught up with it this year, Fruwaka.
Fruwaka is great.
This is such a cool movie. Yeah. I was all about this movie. And even when the twist came in as it was ramping up, I even audibly went, oh, Like it got me. It's just such a solid, obviously, like you can make this film for cheap too. But just aesthetically so pleasing in all the ways. It gets under your skin really, really, really quickly. And yeah, just,
and there's not a lot of folk horror, I feel like, that gets released. So then when you do get one, and when you get one that's as good as this, you like, mm-hmm. yeah, it feels like something really special.
And the fact that they did the whole predominantly most of the movie in Gaelic is really cool as well, because I love a Gaelic film.
Oh, Ben Wheatley, where have you gone?
No,
he's got the Meg too.
Yeah. Don't even remind me about that piece of garbage, The Trench. But his new film, I don't know if you've seen the trailer for it, Normal, with Bob Odenkirk. It's like another nobody type movie. I don't know. Free Fire was a lot of fun though, so. He does well in action if he's gonna, you know, stay out of the water and away from fucking dinosaur creatures and shit and murky what the fuck is happening scenes. Then I had two left. I finally got around to Die My Love, and holy fuck, guys. Jennifer Lawrence is the number one actress with a bullet. Holy shit.
But Bill is right. She is not getting the awards love that I had expected.
I don't even understand it. There are so many.
Neither do I.
There are so many, like, I'll call them deadpan moments, the dead stare, the dead blank stare moments in this film that are speaking more volumes than if she was screaming. There's just so much, so many incredible things to this film, so many different layers. Her work with Sissy Spacek in this film, I think, was really, really damn good. All the symbolism in it. This film rocks you to your core. And it's a Lynn Ramsey film, so of course it does. We can't just stop doing that. And then last night I watched Nicholas Hintner's new film, The Coral, with Ralph Fiennes, to gear me up for Ralph Fiennes later on this month. But this is definitely not the movie to do it. What a stuffy, boring film. Alan Bennett wrote this one. I enjoyed Lady in the Van, which I think was their last venture. I want to say History Boys is them too. That's Hintner and Alan Bennett, I'm pretty sure, as well. And it was a movie that I hated the first time I watched it, but was forced to rewatch it, and it was actually didn't mind it. But Lady in the Van is really great because they kind of built the movie around Maggie Smith with a great performance. But The Coral is just stuffy and boring, and I just didn't care. And that's it.
Oh, too bad.
Speaking of stuffy and boring, which one of us goes next?
It's always me. Why don't you go?
I have like almost nothing, so I can.
I have almost nothing too. So, you got anything else? Do you want to try to flip a coin?
Okay, listen, I'm gonna pick Melissa. You go next.
There you go.
I don't know. Am I stuffy or boring? Which one?
Neither.
Okay.
Neither.
Okay. So I haven't seen that many movies really, because I was, unlike many of you, I was working. This last 2 weeks, I had the stats off. So that was fun. So in addition to Marty Supreme, what else did I see? I saw Cover Up, which I thought was really brilliant. I think Laura Poitras is one of the best documentary filmmakers that we have out there. I think it's amazing that she finally got to make a movie that she's been trying to make for 20 years and finally got Sai to agree to do this with her. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just so interesting being able to touch on so many stories, like through one journalist, being able to touch on so many really pivotal stories about government cover-ups and blatant disregard for international law. And I gotta say, I miss the time. Like I was not that around in the 70s either, but I kind of have this nostalgic miss for an era where people actually gave a shit when children were murdered. And it actually might have led to some policy. Well, did it lead to policy changes? No, I guess it didn't.
But I mean, it felt like you know, we were all on the same page, like
condemning
as humans.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like humanity was on the same page condemning the bad shit that was going on in the world. Yeah. And now nobody seems to care.
Well, or it just seems like there's a whole group of people that don't see any problem with what is happening. And that is that's really frightening.
It's troubling.
I thought, yeah, Cover Up was great. Really sort of bleak commentary on where American media is at now, but also where it could be, but also hopeful in the sense that it shows what it could be. That, you know, that hopefully there are some journalists coming up that are, you know, really interested in taking this kind of more dogged approach to investigative journalism and really getting at the heart of what is going on. The problem is, with all the media monopolies, how do these stories get out? Is it Substack?
I mean, it's
Substack. Yeah. Is Substack the answer? Because I can't see it.
I've been watching PBS quite a bit recently. It just keeps coming up in my newsfeed. You know, you watch one and all of a sudden the algorithm feeds you all the things. And thank God for the algorithm feeding me PBS stories, because they are not, a lot of them are not groundbreaking, you know, make or break the end of the world things. But man, at least the reporters are like sticking it to the man. Like, they invite these, like, they're human, subhuman, I don't know. Like, they're people that I just have no respect for. And they try so hard. But you invited me here. I should talk. It's like, no, you're here to answer questions. Shut the fuck up. PBS for the win. Sorry.
Yeah. It actually made me even more disappointed in CBC and BBC, because this is sort of the point of having publicly owned news outlets, was that they should be able to tell tough stories. And I feel like CBC is failing us in this regard on Gaza and on a lot of international issues. So
agreed. Yeah,
it's really too bad. I also caught up with Honey Don't, and I wish someone had said that to me, because it was really not good. And I mean, Margaret Qualley is charming. That's about all this movie has going for it. The plot makes no sense.
Isn't there another one that was before this?
Like, Driveway Dolls.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, I'm not watching any more of these. They're it was garbage.
Yeah. I guess we know who the more talented Coen brother was now too.
Yeah. If this is any indication, yeah.
Yeah, unfortunate. And then mostly I just watched a shit ton of TV. So much like Bill, I rewatched all of Stranger Things before season 5 came out. And then, so that was a big rewatch. And then I watched all of Pluribus, which is fantastic. And if you haven't seen it, you should watch it immediately.
It's the best TV show of the year.
It is very good. It's very good. And has a semi-unlikable character, but it doesn't matter.
Nope.
Because the story is so good.
It also doesn't help that I am her.
I would
do everything that she does on that show. It's incredible. I love that show so much.
Dan's favorite part of any episode of Pluribus is when she asks them to pick up her garbage or something, and the drone comes to pick it up and then gets stuck in the light pole.
This is
the epitome. Like, Dan loves that so much. He's like, this is technology in one scene.
That is that, and it feels like such a, it's, that just feels so Vince Gilligan to me too. The drone is still stuck there for all subsequent episodes, and like there's at least one shot of it at some point. And
I love it. I love it.
And then I've also finally, because I didn't have Apple TV for a long time because I didn't want to pay for it, and then they put out like a deal, so I signed up. So I'm finally watching Severance. So nice. I'm only midway through season 2, but I really, like, everyone who told me I was gonna dig this show was very on the money, because I very much dig this show.
Nice.
And that's it.
I'm so happy that like weird hardcore science fiction that still has like a weird little niche that all of a sudden becomes huge when one of these shows pops. Yeah. Like Pluribus popped, Severance popped, you know.
Apparently the home for weird sci-fi is Apple TV.
Apple TV has excellent science fiction.
People still watch Landman. You know, you can't stop everything.
No. A terrible show.
Yeah, we got to get Melissa to watch that. At least one episode.
Oh, boy.
I can't do it. I don't think you would make it very far.
It'll
blow your skull apart.
The pilot alone? Not a chance. As soon as the writing for the daughter character is evident, it'll be like, that's Jen checked out real quick. She was like, yep, nope, I'm done. Nope.
Oh,
did Jen make it through Yellowstone?
Yeah, but she really didn't like the last season.
Oh no! Well, who liked the last season?
I haven't even seen the last season. I'm like, it doesn't exist.
No.
Yeah, it's. I think we started laughing. I think we started more laugh watching it. I think there was a scene, not in season five. There might have been season four. Might have been season three. Even towards the end, where Beth goes out to the house with all the workers and is like, cowboy, play me a sad song, and she danced and cried. We're like, okay, that's about it. Yep.
But listen, 1923 is still really, 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 really good.
I enjoyed 1923 actually. But how much shit can they put that poor woman through? Oh my god. And then for that to be the end of her story, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
I know.
Like, especially after 1883, having your main character be basically the same fucking thing. Like, put her through so much shit and be like, guess what? She dies.
No shit. Clearly, he has issues with women.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, have you seen how he writes them?
Yeah, they're mega magic pixie dream girls.
They are 150%. 150%. So does MAGA love Marty Supreme?
I don't think so.
No, it's New York. It's too much of a New York story.
Yeah, because the center of that film always is New York.
Yeah.
Not too bad. Okay, Bill.
Okay, I don't have much either. I wasn't joking. I watched a lot of Stranger Things. Yeah, a lot of Stranger Things.
Yeah, sounds like it.
50 hours of Stranger Things.
Holy fuck.
On fast forward, because
that theme song must just be the earworm of a lifetime.
Bill watched it all on 1.5 speed.
Yeah, I wish I had watched most of it, but yeah, I did fast forward. I'm not going to lie. I, like Steve, kind of laughed at Anaconda more than I probably should have.
Buffalo Sober.
It's not very good, but it's got some moments.
Yeah,
and it does. I'll give them that. It's not Paul very Rudd, good.
Some of Paul Rudd's delivery of things, he's just so fucking goofy in it.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely go for it a few times, and there's some fun cameos. And it's, you know, you can do a lot worse than that movie.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw Testament of Anne Lee, I talked about it. Saw this Korean film called The Great Flood.
Horrible.
Dude, is that a piece of crap?
Okay, so was the third. So Chloe was with us for the entire day on January 1st. We started the day with Stranger Things, then we watched Avatar, and then we were flicking through Netflix, and she's like, I want to watch The Great Flood. I'm like, we will only watch this if we watch it in Korean with subtitles. She's like, okay, that's no problem. Yeah, her review is, that movie made no sense. I did not like it at all.
Yeah, so there's a flood, obviously, and
a great flood.
And it's great. It's a great flood. Oh,
It's the greatest flood. The greatest flood. Then it becomes a weird science fiction movie, and it makes absolutely no sense.
What?
It's so weird.
It's so weird. Almost to the point where I'm like, you guys should watch this just to like see how like this out of left field this film like does a 180.
And it was like top 10 in like a but like 92 countries on Netflix. Like, it makes no sense.
And there's like a child who has like premonitions and shit. Oh, it's fucking weird.
It's so strange.
Child. Yeah, yes. like Samantha Morton in Minority Report.
Yeah, every time someone has like visions, I'm like precogs.
Listen, no one is Samantha Morton in Minority Report because that movie rules.
Yeah. I got the 4K.
It's so good.
I love Samantha Morton.
That movie is great.
I don't know who saw this event. I know Steve saw it, but I don't know if Melissa saw it because I don't think Maria saw it because she wasn't there. Mile End Kicks.
Hell yes. Fucking love that movie.
Yeah, I love that movie.
That's a good movie. Yeah.
Love that movie.
Barney, I love Chandler LeVac though. I love movies.
I love movies.
I love Mile End Kicks.
As far as next year goes, that's probably going to be in the running for me next year. And Barbie's performance will probably be in there because she's so damn great.
She's really incredible in the film, and she
love her.
There was like parts in that film where I was just like, Jesus, I totally feel this. Mm-hmm. Like this is so like me in the 90s. Like
I watched it with my wife.
Yeah. Every fuck boy. Like,
Jesus. Yeah, I had lots of fuck boys. Okay, maybe not, but
well, she's wearing a Spin magazine t-shirt in the movie trail, like the still.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's very of the time.
My wife said, she's like, I feel really seen by this movie.
Yeah.
I'm going to love it.
You are going to love it. And also Devin Bostick, just giant.
I just have 100, yo.
He's so
Roderick.
He is like every boy I would have fallen in love with in the early 2000s.
I'm also very angry that both of you haven't mentioned that Juliette Gareppi from Red Rooms is in the film. And because we are the official podcast of Red Rooms.
Look, some things we need to be discovered like that. And
so when do we get Pascal on the show is all I want to know. Is this something that I need to work towards?
Seemed like a pretty cool dude at the Q&A.
He did seem like a cool dude at the Q&A.
Okay, this is Marina's goal for the year.
Yeah, I'm in.
Pascal Laplante on the show.
Yeah.
And then we can add Red Rooms to the top 10.
Then we can just tell him, like, yeah, Red Rooms just ends up in our top 10 every year.
Yeah. There's also something really kind of fun about Jay Baruchel just being a complete douche.
Right? Of course, his name's Kirk.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that was good stuff. And that band wasn't very good, but hey, whatever. I also like Pavement. Yeah, she made the joke in the film, but I love Pavement. They're one of my favorite bands of all time. So good film. I liked it. And I saw a really weird documentary. I don't know if anybody else has seen this, but Zodiac Killer Project.
Yeah, I did not like this.
You see, I kind of did.
No.
I kind of got entranced by his like bullshittery of everything and how he just, it was like, I couldn't make this movie because I didn't get the book rights. So I'm going to, because he talked about it in the press a lot, I'm going to make the movie anyway. And then talk a lot of shit about Netflix documentaries.
Okay, so I mean, I like the idea. I think is interesting. I wish that it was about something other than the BTK killer. Because I mean, the Zodiac killer. Because we've seen like at this point, there have been how many documentaries, how many films? Like none of it feels new, and it just feels like the self-serving, like douchey filmmaker. Going, well, you're not going to let me make my movie, so let me tell you what I would have done with all of this footage that I took and maybe some stuff that I'm going to go shoot on my own. The whole thing just felt very...
I don't know. I had a weird different view of it. I didn't. And the fact that he just completely points out the fact that every Netflix documentary is exactly the same.
He is not wrong.
No, like he even like shows like video of like the credit scenes being exactly the same on every one of them and how they always have the same shot of like blood going across like something. And it's hilarious. I couldn't stop laughing.
No, but he's not wrong. I gave it 2 stars.
Wow.
Did not care for it.
Okay. Don't listen to Marina.
We are offering opinions.
Marina did not care for it. Bill did not log it.
This is true.
So does it exist?
No, it is on my 2025 film list, soon to be 2026, because I actually haven't seen a 2026 film yet. Disappointing, I know. It's been 4 days. Yeah. But yeah, that's it for me.
Oh, wow. Oh,
watched a lot of Stranger Things.
Yeah. All right. All right. So what's coming? Oh, well, do we bother? I mean, our next show is going to be our top 10.
Top 10.
Well, I'll just go through them. I'll go through them anyway. Just so people
for
know.
For those that need to know what's coming.
Okay, so is this thing on? It's finally wide on the 9th of January. It's been a very slow release. I think it's the first. I think it was like the 18th or something like that was the first weekend, and then yeah, not good. I thought that movie would have been way wide by now. Jesus. Welcome to January, friends. Greenland 2 Migration.
Look, you cannot have a January unless Gerard Butler is there. Does January ever happen if Gerard is not there?
Apparently no.
No.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know if... Was the first one bad? I don't remember it being bad.
The first one's fine, actually.
I thought it was actually fine. I didn't think it was great, but I think it was bad.
It's a movie that Roland Emmerich like, would have looked at and been like, oh, so that's what it means to be subtle.
No.
Right. I should have dialed it back.
No. We like Roland Emmerich being large and bombastic.
Roland Emmerich presents Anonymous. Do you want to know want to know about William Shakespeare? I'll tell you.
Well, now he's retired essentially, so it doesn't matter. Well, he hasn't made a movie.
The end?
I don't think he's made a movie in a while, has he?
I don't think so.
No.
Stonewall might have been the last one he did.
Wow. I think Marina saw this last episode, Chronology of Water.
Yes.
Kristen Stewart.
High recommendation for me. Thumbs up.
Okay. Yeah, that opens. I'm guessing that's probably limited. Primate.
I think that's what I'm going to be seeing tomorrow as the mystery horror screening.
Okay. Interesting trailer.
Yeah, and it's what's his name?
Johann Roberts.
Yeah, Johann Roberts. This one actually got some good buzz out of South by or Fantastic?
One of the festivals.
I liked 47 Meters Down.
Yeah, he has some moves that are okay. The sequel.
It's Mandy Moore, man.
The sequel is so terrible. And that Roland Emmerich thing, the last movie he did was Moonfall.
Oh, that was really bad. I've forgotten about that.
It was really bad.
He did
5 of the 10 episodes of a Roman series called Those About to Die with Anthony Hopkins.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard of that.
No,
yeah, I think it was Peacock. It was Peacock and then Stack TV or whatever, Canada.
Dead Man Wire is limited. It goes wide the next week. Steve saw this at VIFF with me. Ladies and gentlemen, be prepared for Obex.
Oh, shit. It's actually getting a release?
It's getting a release from a
Whoa, this movie makes lo-fi movies look hi-fi. Like, this movie is so wild.
I still remember telling Marina I saw that film, and she watched the trailer and said, like, shit.
Yeah. I'm still not sure.
I think it's great. I really liked it.
It's like choose your own adventure role-playing games on the computer, like the green screen computers mixed with Eraserhead. It's so fucking weird.
The first half is really quite strange, and then the second half becomes quite sweet and quite nice. I really liked it. I thought it was quite one of the more shockingly surprising films of VIFF. One of the better Altered States films. Because they don't exist anymore, it seems. Because I haven't watched Steve's top 10 show, I have no idea if he let Chloe put Young Mothers at number one.
No.
Okay, I didn't think so.
No, not that I doctored it at all. She didn't have it at number one, but she did have a VIFF movie at number one.
Oh, okay. I remember that screening, and it was... lots of tears.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
As far as movies, then people feel the seen.
Yeah,
Jean-Pierre Dardenne.
Yeah. Well, name a Dardenne's movie that doesn't have tears.
When we're talking about movies that make people feel seen, Chloe felt so. Being a young mother herself, she was just like, "Holy shit!" And I'm like, "Oh, you have your Ken Loach, Dardenne." She's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna be looking forward to their films every year now." So I'm like, "Yeah,
cool."
While they're still making them. Quick question, because it comes out on the 7th this week in limited. Did any of you guys see Resurrection at the festival?
No,
I got a screener for it and tried to watch it. It's 3 hours and something.
Yeah.
And
240, but yeah.
Yeah. And I just, it's really experimental and I was not in the mood. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wanted to see it at VIFF, but it did not work. And plus the runtime scared me because I've seen this other films and they're very slow. So yeah, I would say with, you know, knowing how what his previous stuff is like, I would say probably be warned that it's probably going to be pretty slow. So January 16th, if we were doing a movie next episode, this would probably be it. 8 years later, The Bone Temple, which screened for critics at the end of November, and everybody said it's great.
Yeah, I heard that too. I heard Nia brings a really interesting energy to this. The Garland script is on point. Jack O'Connell might have another phenomenal villain performance this year. All right, and for this year, because yeah. I honestly, Sinners has one of the best villains of this year of 2025. I think so.
I can't wait. I hated the last one, but hey, why not? I'm the only person that didn't like it. So there's an anime movie from G-Kids called All You Need Is Kill.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, but it's G-Kids, so I'll probably see it. The first Christopher Nolan film, Following, is getting a re-release. I haven't seen that movie in 20 years. Don't remember actually liking it. So that'll be interesting. I'll check it out if it's around. There's a vampire film with Justin Long and CM Punk coming out called Night Patrol.
Yeah, I only because I follow both of them is how I saw that.
Yeah,
it's the same. I mean, Justin Long makes pretty fun horror movies. I gotta say,
yeah,
that's true.
I didn't see this at VIFF, but the Jodie Foster film A Private Life opens.
I was so bored by that film.
Okay.
I was so bored by that one.
Yeah. Okay, good thing I skipped it. I don't know why. This trailer made me happy. I'm usually not that guy, but the new Joe Carnahan film, The Rip, with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, looks kind of fun.
Yes, I think
why
so
not?
Too.
Why not? Exactly. Carnahan has one every now and then to get squeaks through, and it's just like, oh, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I really like this trailer quite a bit.
Yeah. A really weird, depressing film I saw at VIFF called The Sound of Falling opens. That movie is hard to watch, hard to like process. It's so bleak. But I still liked it. It's one of the cooler looking films I saw last year. And there's another warning. Sound of Falling is quite strange and quite weird and really hard to watch. And if you have a problem with children dying, do not watch The Sound of Falling. Because lots of kids die. And that is it. So top tens.
Top tens are happening.
Hell yeah, top tens.
Yeah.
The stress again.
So let's stress this. Top 10, not top 15, not top 12. 10.
What do you think this 10. Is going to do? What do you think this is going to do? This is not stopping anything.
Fine.
She can mute you. She'll have the power. She can mute you after 10.
Fine.
Oh, I say that, and I already know it's going to be impossible to do a top 10. It's just going to be like a bunch of random movies that I really liked.
So. I'm curious, Steve. You've already made a top 10. Have you seen something in the last week that has like changed your top 10 list?
I thought Marty might be the movie to kind of interject, or but it wasn't. I think Die My Love is the only movie that'll cause me pause to insert.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think that's the only different. Like, I might reevaluate my list that I've already made because I still have it, to freshen it up a bit. But it was hard to make that list in the first place. So. Yeah.
Okay.
I always second guess my lists. I'm never completely 1000% content with it.
It is. That's just humanity, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah. 2 weeks, guys. You have 2 weeks to watch anything else. Weigh your options.
There's one movie left I want to see, and I got to talk to you about that, Marina. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, okay. I think I know what it is. I haven't seen it yet. Sorry.
It's okay. But yeah, well, just wait, you know. Sometimes you know, waiting around for the definitive list of lists is worth it. Mm-hmm.
So I should wait until Sunday the 18th in the morning to watch that movie and then send it to you.
That's fine. It's fine.
I'm kidding. I've been busy building a furniture for 2 weeks, it feels like. So
nice.
Oh my god. I'm done for a while. All right. So we'll be back in a couple of weeks with a top 10. Until then, where can folks find you? Even if you are doing it incorrectly.
Okay. I am Bill Harris, and I am on Letterboxd at SoundJam69. I have a film list. That is it. I am on Blue Sky at That Bill Harris, and I just checked my phone. Canada just lost in the World Juniors, and I'm fucking pissed. Oh. So everybody have a good 2 weeks.
You can find me on Letterboxd at The Marina, and that is pretty much the only place to find me at the moment.
I too am findable on Letterboxd as at Melzy, and I too don't do it correctly.
You actually like track things and write things.
I write reviews because I do this with books too, because otherwise I just remember if I liked or didn't like something. I don't remember why I liked or didn't like something. So I try to do like a little capsule review of everything that I see, but I don't give star ratings to anything.
I think that's fair.
If it's got a heart, it's not because it's my favorite. It's because I liked it. If it doesn't have a heart, I didn't like it.
Yeah, that's it. Fair.
Yeah.
Last but not least.
You can find me on anywhere that there's social media. Just look up The Steeple Dead and you'll probably find me because I probably nabbed access to that username at the beginning. But you can also find my website, stevestepping.ca. I do a show on there every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific time called What the Hell Should I Watch with My Daughter Chloe. And that is a YouTube show, so you can look me up on YouTube and like and subscribe and all that good stuff. I'm also on Tremble the Horror podcast with Kurt and Taylor. Our latest two episodes, which we recorded today, were on Silent Hill and Werewolves Within. We're doing some video game stuff, and I love Silent Hill, and there's a new one coming out this month, so I'm excited about that too, even though it looks fucking janky and weird, but whatever. Also, I am on The Night Shift with Shane Hewitt every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Toronto's News Talk 1010 on the iHeartRadio Network. You can also look that up wherever you get your favorite podcasts from, and I am also on The Early Edition with Gary Barnes Fridays on Kelowna's AM 1150, just after the 8:30 news break AM.
Woohoo! Until our next show, you can find all links to all the things we talked about today on the website at atcpod.ca. And until the next time,
hack the planet.
Bye!